Take your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We've been talking about walking by faith from this book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is a little unusual for these New Testament books of the Bible because we don't know for certain who wrote this book. Now, there are some gospels that start the New Testament, like Matthew. Who do you think wrote Matthew? Good, you're so smart. Or Mark, or Luke, or John. And then there are others like the book of Acts that we know that Dr. Luke, it tells us, wrote that as well. And then there are so many of these letters in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, I mean, he tells us he wrote that. We don't have that in Hebrews. In fact, we don't know for sure that this was a letter. There are some things, as I'll show you in a moment, that make us think this may have been a sermon that someone wrote down as they heard it there to these Jewish Christians. That was the audience, people who had followed Christ, but they were getting weary, and some of them were falling kind of away. They were drifting. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I've learned in my life that you never drift anywhere you really want to go. You never drift anywhere good. And that's what was happening. We know that because in chapter 10, right at the end, this is what it says. But we do not belong to those who shrink back or drift and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And so then we start what we call Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith or this roll call of faith, where at the very beginning, faith is defined. Listen to this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then we've got this long list of folks from the Bible. Some of their names we're familiar with. Some of them are new to us. But these are people commended for their faith. People like Abel that you hear about on the first pages of Scripture, or Enoch, or Noah, or people like Abraham and his wife Sarah, or people like Isaac or Jacob or Joseph or even Moses. Last week we had a broad term. We had the children of Israel, and we zeroed in and we looked at Joshua. Or I think my favorite of all of these is when we looked at Rahab. All these people of faith, and they all had some things in common. Do you remember what they had in common? They all believed that God is who he says he is. Let's say that together. God is who he says he is. They all believe that God does what he promises he'll do. Let's say that together. God does what he promises he'll do. And then they all believe that when you get to the end, it will have been worth it to walk by faith. Let's say that. In the end, it will be worth it to have walked by faith. And we know this is so important because there's a verse that even says it's essential. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We have to have faith. And today, as we conclude this chapter and as I conclude this series, I want you to see one final faith lesson. Here it is. You're going to hear it a bunch. When we walk by faith, God turns our weakness to strength, and he allows us to join the mission of Jesus. I want you to think on the outset, what is this all about? Why do you show up for something like this? Why does it matter how we live? Is it so that we can punch our ticket to heaven? Is that really the end goal? Is it so that others will think well of us? Is it so that our life will be better? I would say to you that those things, all three of those, may happen, but that's not the end goal. The end goal is that as we live our lives for Jesus by faith, we join Jesus in his mission. When he died and was buried and rose again, he told us what his mission was. It's worded different ways in the different Gospels and in the book of Acts, but it sounds something like this. As you go, make disciples. In other words, when faith came to you, it wasn't intended to come to a dead end or a cul-de-sac. Faith has continued to pass through you. It's to be a legacy. It's to go to somebody else. If we're not joining Jesus in his mission, we're missing the point. So he would say in the book of Acts, you will be my witnesses. You will tell others what you've seen and experienced as the Spirit of God comes upon you. And you're filled with God's presence in that way. And you make a difference in your little corner of the world and in your surrounding areas and as far as you can reach. When you make an intentional decision, I'm going to walk by faith and join Jesus in his mission. But here's the problem. You are my people, not just this church family. I do love my church family, but you kind of people are my people, people who would choose to get up on a Sunday morning and instead of sleeping in, you came to church. And here's what I know about church people like me. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we feel afraid. Sometimes our past overwhelms us or we get sidetracked because of our own sinfulness. And it's hard to think that we could join Jesus in his mission because we're just glad we crawled out of bed. And if that's you, and it's me, I've got good news. You've come to the right place. Because when we walk by faith, God turns our weakness into strength, and he allows us to join the mission of Jesus. So I want to pray, and I want to ask God to help the mission of Jesus and his kingdom expand because of the next few minutes that we'll spend together, okay? So Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you one more time, meet us here. We know you're here. Holy Spirit of God, you have indwelt those who follow you. We know you're here, but may you manifest your presence in such a way that we will walk away different because you gave us something we needed that we didn't have, or you taught us something new, or we were simply changed and molded and shaped more into your image. Would you do that for the glory of your name? And so for that to happen, God, you got to move me out of the way. So let the words of my mouth and my thoughts please you. Lord, the sign of the cross is both in front of me and behind me, but I pray that in my mind and as hearers hear your word today, it would be through the filter of the cross that we would be reminded that it's you, Jesus, who is the center of our faith. And so I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to pick up reading in verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell. That's an interesting way for the writer or the speaker to continue. One reason some think this may have been a sermon is because us preachers can relate to that. You start looking at the clock or you're looking at your watch and you say, I don't have enough time to tell you anything else. But having been a preacher a long time, that usually doesn't slow us down. He says, what more can I say? Maybe he was saying, I'm struggling to find the words to even know any better way I can describe what it means, what it looks like to walk by faith. Or maybe he was saying, saying what the words of that old gospel song say. Willie, you know this song. Let's sing it together. It was like this. If you don't know me by now, you will never know me. Whoa. Man, you're good. Give yourself a hand. That's pretty awesome. So maybe he was saying, hey, if you don't know what faith is by now, I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what I can do to help you understand what faith is all about. He says, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Now the writer of Hebrews, he didn't have time, but guess what? We got a few more minutes, so I'm going to tell you some of what he didn't tell us in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start with Gideon. Gideon is described in Judges chapter 6. Gideon's story is like this. God came to Gideon, and he said, I need your help. I want you to conquer this group of people, so assemble an army. So Gideon did, and he assembled 32,000 people. But God said, nope, too many. Cut it down. And so he cut it down. God said, cut it down again. He cut it down again. He said, cut it down again. He cut it down again. Till eventually, all Gideon had left was 300 people. And God said, now you're ready to conquer this other army. And Gideon said, I don't think we can do it. We're too small. We're too inadequate. I don't have enough people. And God said, but you have me. And we learn that when we doubt, but keep walking by faith, God can do big things. How many of you have ever doubted? Let me see your hand. Come on, let's be honest. Yeah, me too. All right. Then there's this guy, Barak. We don't know much about Barak. Judges chapter 4, Judges chapter 5. God comes to him, gives him assignment too. This time, Barak says, I need help, so I'm going to go to the judge, Deborah. So Barak literally goes and does what a lot of us men often do. He goes to a woman and says, I can't do this without you. But she comes alongside, and even though he felt weak, he felt scared, he walked by faith, and God accomplished something big. Let me see your hand if you've ever felt weak or if you've ever felt scared. Yeah, me too. All right, what about Samson? We know his story. Samson in Judges 13 through 16. Samson, man, he was a passionate guy, but sometimes his passions got the best of him and he didn't make good choices. And yet even in spite of that, he kept turning back to God. And at one point it says that Samson killed about 1,000 men just with the jawbone of a donkey. What about that story in the Bible? That's pretty crazy. But it says the greatest thing that Samson accomplished, he accomplished in his death, because in his death he brought greater glory to God. And we see that you don't always get outside of the consequences of the choices you made, but if you walk by faith, big things can happen in spite of your choices. How many of you ever made some choices you wish you could undo? Let me see those hands. All right. All right. Yeah, me too. Then there's this guy, Jephthah. Most of us don't know Jephthah. His story is in Judges 11 and 12, and this is how he's introduced. Jephthah was the son of a prostitute. Hello. Man, we're just so obsessed with these labels that often define us, and maybe you can relate to that. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but maybe your family of origin or your background or something, when you look back there in the rearview mirror in your past, it's what would tempt you to keep from walking by faith. Maybe there's hurt related to that. Maybe you can remember, or maybe you've experienced being in the grocery store line and getting a strange look because you've used food stamps or government money, or maybe your family background is something that's brought you actual shame. It was a mess. You know, I think about this, and I'm quickly drawn to a conversation my brother and I had this week. I mean, we were very blessed. We grew up in a pastor's home with two godly parents, but guess what? They were broken, and we were broken. So I can say, hi, my name's Paul. My story is probably different than a lot of you, but my family was a mess. And my children could say the same thing now. But we walk by faith. And then there's David, the unlikely king. What in the world can we say about David? He was small. He was the most unlikely to be king. He was not chosen because of his stature like Saul, his predecessor, was. He was chosen because he was God's man. And yet this small young man at the time defeated giants because he walked by faith. Then he sinned. He was small and sinful. And yet, the Holy Spirit of God in the book of Acts calls him a man after God's own heart because he walked by faith. I want to ask you to volunteer on this one, but let me just be vulnerable. I know what it's like to wonder if my sins are going to get in the way of what God wants to do through my life. But David kept walking by faith. Samuel, we know the good about Samuel, but if you read the scriptures, you find out that Samuel was a terrible father. He was a failed father. Let me get everybody's involvement one more time. Can I see your hand if you've ever failed at something you feel like God wanted you to do? Yeah. And yet he walked by faith. He's in this hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. His name is mentioned. Do you get the picture? When we walk by faith, God takes our weakness and turns it into strength and allows us to join the mission of Jesus. But the writer doesn't stop with these men. So let me just read that again and then keep reading. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. Who was in the lion's den? Yeah. Who quenched the fury of the flames. Who was in the fiery furnace? Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. Some of you will catch that. Who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Probably the widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings, where Elijah raised her son from the dead. You know what it's saying? Our God is a miracle-working God. That is who he is. When we walk by faith, God allows us to see his bigness no matter how small we may feel. It reminds me of the Isaiah principle. You remember, I try to tell you this all the time because there's a few things I just want you to get. Isaiah in chapter 6 says, I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up. And immediately he says, and so I said, woe is me. God high, me low. I know that's kind of elementary, but if you get that spiritual principle, you're ahead of most of the world. Learn to see your life through that filter. God is high, we are low. It's not about us. It's not about any of us. All of us are just passing through. Our God is a big God. This reminds us of God's miraculous power and his supernatural ability. I love to read the New Testament and see that God worked and brought healing miracles. I love to see the stories where he turned water to wine and he brought food out of nothingness. I read that a couple of different times early this morning in the Gospel of Matthew. But I also love to see God work in miraculous ways today. I love to see the doctors confounded. I love to see where someone who has been sick is healed. I love to see when God provides. He's a miracle-working God. And I pray that as you walk by faith, you see that our God works miracles. But we don't always see that. Let's keep reading. Verse 35. There were others, say others. See, here's what I think. There's probably more of us who hear this who relate to the others. Others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin and destitute and persecuted and mistreated. And the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and lived in caves and in holes in the ground, and they were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Yes, God wants you to see how big He is. You need to see God's bigness. But when we walk by faith, God also allows us to see that He is better no matter how bad it gets. He's always better. Sometimes the healing does not come. Sometimes the miraculous financial provision does not appear. Sometimes we don't get out. We're not delivered from a situation. Sometimes those we love die. But our God is still good. We don't worship God because of what He does for us. We worship God because of who He is. We don't worship just because of what we gain. We worship because of His character. If the bigness of God shows us His power and supernatural ability, the betterness of God shows us His value and His worth. And walking by faith is worth it, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when it's not adding up. Even when you're overwhelmed. He's good, and He does good. Hudson Taylor is that British missionary who felt called to go to China. And he did that when no one was going, and everybody thought he was being reckless and irresponsible. They said what he saw in his mind was impossible. But it's also Hudson Taylor who would say this: nothing is impossible with God. There are three stages to every great work of God. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. First, it is impossible. Then it is difficult. Then it is done. And I fear many of us never see a great work of God because we stump our toe. We stop when we see the impossible or when it becomes difficult before it's done. Sometimes we walk by faith and we see the fact and we rest in the reality that God is bigger. But sometimes we walk by faith and we have to rest in the fact that God is better. There's an interesting phrase in what we read in Hebrews when it's describing those who go through these difficulties. You remember what some of them were? They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Their heads were cut off. We know that some of the apostles were crucified, even upside down. And yet it has this phrase. What we read says this: they refused to be released. Now that's interesting. Think about what that necessarily means. They could have been released, but they refused to be released. Why? Apparently they refused to do what was necessary to be released. They refused to stop walking by faith because they were looking to something was better. You see, when we stop walking by faith, what we're saying is, I think this would be better than walking by faith. I think this relationship, even though I know it's unhealthy, would be better than walking by faith. I think this substance, this thing I'm putting in my body would be better than walking by faith. I think my management of my finances, my way, would be better than walking by faith. I think ignoring the prompting of the Spirit in me to talk to someone about my faith would be better than walking by faith. But they refused to be released. I promise, I'm a people pleaser. I wish I could stand before you and say, if you walk by faith, all of your financial needs will always be met. If you walk by faith, you'll never get sick. If you walk by faith, everybody will like you. But I could not do that and be true to Scripture. No matter what someone else tells you, that's not what the Bible teaches. But it does teach, if you walk by faith, it will be worth it. When we walk by faith, God always turns our weakness to strength, and He allows us to join the mission of Jesus. Hudson Taylor would also go on to say, all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. So, here we are at the end of one of the most well-known chapters in the Bible, and the question turns to us. Will we walk by faith? Will we live our lives in such a way that others will look at us and say, that person believes that God is who he says he is? Will we go through our daily practices in such a way that the world will see us and say, man, they believe that God does what he promises he will do? And will we stay at it long enough to be able to say in the end, it really was worth it? I can't tell you how often I've felt like quitting. I know what it's like to sit in a recliner on a Sunday morning, not at church, when my family's asleep, wondering how I could even go forward. But because of God's grace, I've kept running the race. And that's why a big part of my passion is to encourage others to do the same. I say to them, don't quit before you finish. And then I regularly use this little phrase. I say, keep pedaling. I get that from a story I tell. You may have heard it. It's about the time I taught my sons to ride a bike. I taught all of them to ride a bike. The one I remember most is when I taught my son Luke, our youngest son, to ride a bike. We had just built our dream home in Branson, Missouri. They had just paved the road in front of our house. It was a perfect place to learn to ride a bike, so I took the training wheels off of his little bike, and I said, Luke, come on, we're going to ride a bike today. I took him out. His brothers were there ready to cheer him on. I said, this is all you got to do. You can put your hands on the handlebar. You can put your feet on the pedals. You're going to sit on that seat. I'm going to give you a push. And all you got to do, Luke, is just keep pedaling. If you keep pedaling, you're going to learn to ride a bike. I said, you got it? He said, got it, Dad. I said, good. He did what I asked him to do. I gave him a push, and he was doing great. He was pedaling. He was riding that bike. His brothers were cheering him on until he got a little proud. And he stopped pedaling. See, Luke's like me, and he's like you. Our pride can get in the way of us doing what we need to do. So when he stopped pedaling, what do you think happened? Yeah. He fell, and he cried. He was just a little boy. He said, oh, I said, Luke, what happened? He said, I fell. I said, why did you fall? He said, I stopped pedaling. I said, get up. We're going to do this again. We're going to do it right. You put your hands on the handlebar, feet on the pedals. You sit on that seat. I'm going to give you a push. All you got to do is keep pedaling, Luke. You understand? Yes, sir. So I gave him the push. He started pedaling. Man, he was doing great. His mom was out there this time. Everybody's cheering him on. Luke's doing a great job. He's pedaling. But he got a little proud. He's got something else in common with his dad. Maybe some of you. He has a little bit of an anger issue, so this time he was just mad. He fell, and he went, "Ah!" I said, "Luke, what happened?" And he said, "I fell." I said, "Why did you fall?" He said, "Stop peddling." So I said, "Get up." I said, "We're going to do this one more time." I said, "You put your seat on the seat, you hands on the handlebar, you put your feet on the pedals, and I just want you to keep pedaling. I'm going to give you a push. All you got to do is keep pedaling. You understand that, Luke?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, but one more thing. This time, I'm going to run along beside you, and I'm just going to be saying in your ear, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. Say it with me. Say, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. A little louder. Keep pedaling, keep pedaling. Say it. Keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. And that day, Luke learned to ride a bike. But that's not why I'm telling you the story. I'm telling you that story because if you're going to walk by faith, someday you're going to have to decide, I'm going to keep pedaling no matter what. I'm going to keep pedaling when I know God is bigger. And I'm going to keep pedaling when I just have to trust that God is better. I'm going to keep pedaling, but here's the good news. You don't have to worry about having a daddy running beside you whispering in your ear. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God has indwelt you. And the Spirit of God inside of you will cry out when you feel it, that weak moment, when you feel like you're doubting, when you're overcome with your past sin, where you feel like stopping the walk of faith. And he'll say, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. What we know about these heroes in Hebrews 11 is that they did that. We know that because in verse 38 it says the world was not worthy of them. Have you ever met people like that? Where you just get to know them and you think, man, I think they've got more heaven in them than they have earth in them. I want to be that person, but I'm just telling you, I don't think I am. I look at myself in the mirror. But I know people like that, people that have just been, they're so godly, they so represent Jesus. That's what it says about these people. The world was not worthy of them. And so it says that God commended them. And then they passed the baton. That's what this is. It's a baton. Maybe you saw it last summer. In the Olympics, the 2024 Olympics in Paris, I think of all the favorite things I watched in the Olympics, it was the women's relay. And you see this amazing American team and this amazing, all of them amazing athletes, but I love Sydney McLaughlin because she was also testifying for Christ. And you'd see these ladies, they'd get to the point and they'd pass the baton, and then they'd pass the baton, and then they'd pass the baton, and race after race, that American team won. And we're talking about these people in Hebrews 11 today because they passed the baton. I want to illustrate something with you. Would you do me a favor and would you welcome one of my great encouragers, Miss Mary Shelnut? Mary, would you come on up here? My buddy Nate's going to help you. Mary, until about 15 seconds ago, used to be my friend. Mary, I love you. And you were a part of that group, and the church calls it a search committee, that, man, you're part of that group that met me and asked questions. I asked some of y'all. I ask you, who does everybody listen to in that church? And they gave me the names of two men. One of those was Mr. Ron Govan. He's in heaven now. We're grateful for him. The other was Mr. Bill Buckley. And Bill stood where you're standing. But you know what I learned about 3 seconds after God called me to be pastor here? If you wouldn't have been in the room, they would have mentioned Mary Shelnut, because Mary, you are faithful in this church. You serve, you give back. You're personally one of my favorite and best encouragers. But you've been running with the baton. Go ahead and take it. For a couple of years, right?
I have.
How many years you been in this church?
54.
Yeah, 54 years. Would you praise God for that? Hang on right here. I caught Mary off guard. Actually, she had a head's notice. This next person doesn't. But Bailey Wigand, are you awake? Would you run up here real quick? Come on, Bailey. We don't have all day. Bailey, come on. Let's go. All right. You got it, Bailey. Come on. You can do it. You can bring Lydia with you. Lydia, come with Bailey and help her out right here. This is Bailey and Lydia. Would y'all? They're trying to find their way here. Welcome them as they come. Bailey and Lydia. They needed advance notice just like you did. Here's what I've learned. If we stop walking by faith, the baton never gets passed. Come on, ladies. It's not too bad. All right. Y'all, you're her cheering squad. Okay, come right here. I'm stubborn, so I'm going to go here. Thank you, Lydia, for being a good friend. But if we stop walking by faith, the baton doesn't get passed, and we miss out on the mission of Jesus. But what God's designed is that those who have walked by faith pass the baton to those who will walk by faith, and the mission of Jesus continues. You can take that with you. You go ahead. Say thank you to these. Say thank you to these for helping us today. So I just want to challenge you. Let's keep walking by faith. I know for a fact that the baton was passed. You know how I know? Because I kept reading after Hebrews 11 ended. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, say therefore. Based on all of this, on all of those, the ancients who we commended for walking by faith, those who kept their eyes on the prize, those who decided that, yes, God is bigger, but whoa, God is better. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Like that crowd of witnesses, you are the crowd of witnesses, the great crowd of witnesses. Let us walk by faith. Let's open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to ask God to work through us. Yes, it'll be for our good, but it'll be for his glory. Let's walk by faith and join the mission of Jesus. But here's the deal. You can't walk by faith today until you've chosen to trust Jesus through faith someday. See, we're not saved by all these things we do for God. The Bible says we are saved through faith by God's grace. It's a gift. But there has to be a moment where we trust Jesus. So here's my invitation to you. If you've never trusted Jesus, why not today? For the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Every time you walk in this building and you see a cross, you're reminded that Jesus endured the pain and the shame of a cross as the punishment for your sin, so that today you can walk by faith. Call on the name of Jesus today. Let me pray with us. So, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to worship you and proclaim the centrality of who you are, Lord, I pray that you would take away those things that are keeping us from walking by faith. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would provide healing. I know there's several, even in this room, that will hear these words that need the healing power of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see miracles of provision. I pray that for this church, but I pray this for individuals as well. Lord, I pray that you would do miraculous things in relationships that we have. Lord, I pray that our fears, our weakness, our sin, our hurt feelings, those things in us would not keep us from walking by faith. Lord Jesus, I read this morning the deep warning you gave to people like us, the religious, who know a lot, but Lord, they weren't clinging to you. Help that not be me, Lord. Help that not be us. When I say amen, we're going to begin to sing. There'll be pastors that are standing here. Like always, they're ready to pray with you if you have a need. Maybe you desire to trust God today and take that step of faith to begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you just want to come and pray and kneel here at these steps. But we're going to proclaim in this song the centrality of Jesus. I pray that this moment of worship would be worshipful to you. Lord, I pray that you would hear our words even now, as we make this proclamation in Jesus' name.